Amen. What a blessing. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles up this morning. Everybody get your seat, get settled down. Be real still now for a few minutes, and I'm going to bring you a message this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everybody knows that very well-known scripture here in 2 Timothy 3, so let's open our Bibles, please, there. You do not want to miss the service tonight. Let me say again, you do not want to miss the service tonight. Got something very, very encouraging and good planned for tonight. Something you've never seen before tonight. And so you don't want to miss the service. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to like it. So bring a friend and be here tonight. Got something to preach and something to show you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This scripture here describes the last days. Every preacher, Bible preacher, preaches on 2 Timothy 3. There are something like 21 descriptive words or phrases that describe the last days here in this chapter. I'm going to point out one of them to you this morning that we'll deal with. Now I want to start reading with verse 1, and I want you to follow along with me. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The word perilous, it simply means dangerous, scary. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we are definitely there, are we not? Boy, we're living in a time when everybody absolutely is in love with their self. Somebody said that one fellow would get along real good with his wife, he'd get a divorce from himself. We're living in a time when everybody's in love with their self. That's what he said. Covetous, never, always wanting something else. Boasters, proud, thinking you're something else. Blasphemers, we see it and hear it on the news every day. Disobedient to parents, never been a time when that was out of control like it is now. Unthankful, that's what we'll deal with this morning. Unholy. Without natural affection, that means something that God put in us that's naturally there for everybody, it's twisted around, all messed up. That's without natural affection for anything you naturally love, for a woman, for kids, a man for a woman for a man, anything that's natural, it said it'd be without natural affection in the last days. Truce breakers. Those peace treaties ain't worth the paper they're signed on. They broke every one of them. They said there's only been 200 and something years of recorded peace since Cain knocked Abel's brains out on this earth. Only 200 years in 6,000 years. I heard a preacher on radio the other day said, peace is that little span of time while everybody's standing around reloading. And that's right. That's what peace is. We're just getting up our bullets ready to fire again. Ain't that right? That's right. There ain't no peace on this earth till the Prince of Peace comes and makes it. Amen? Now, he said, not only that, he said false accusers. Of course, we see that. Incontinent. Do you know anybody can accuse you of anything now, and you don't even get to defend yourself? They'll put it in the newspaper, on TV, and you can be locked up for something you didn't even do. Just because some idiot wants to accuse you of something. Don't get no ideas, because I'll accuse you of something back if you try me. I got a good lawyer watching after me. But I'm telling you something, there's false accusers. And then he said incontinent. Incontinent means never being able to be satisfied. No matter what they've got, they want something else. Duh. Are we there? Look at there. And he said fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you try to live right, they'll hate you. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of football on Thanksgiving Day more than... No, wait a minute. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's true. Most churches can get 15 men out to play softball 3 nights a week with no trouble and can't get 3 of them same guys to go on visitation. That's lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Right? Amen. Yes, sir. Sure is. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Look at verse 6. For of this sort, this is soap operas. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I didn't write the Bible, I just preach it. It said in the last days there would be creeps. And these creeps would come into your house during the daytime and lead captive dumb women. I didn't write the Bible, I just preach it. Say amen right there. It's going to get a little worse, so just button your seatbelt. Look at what he said. Silly women, I said dumb. Silly is the Greek word for dumb. And laden with sins, led away with divers. That's diverse, different lust. He's good looking, he's good looking, he's good looking, he's good looking. That guy plays on this one, so good looking. That guy plays on that. That's the silly woman at home that the creeps come in and lead away captive. Ever learning. This is to be put up over above the doors of the University of North Carolina and Clemson and Georgia and Auburn and University of Alabama. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Study, 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 study. NASA ought to have that verse up there. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, one of the things the Lord said they'd do in the last days, He said they'd be unthankful. And so, since it's Thanksgiving, that's what I'm going to preach about this morning. And I hope it's a real blessing to your heart. I'm going to say some things that we should be thankful for this morning. And I hope you'll get it good. And I know that you're used to a preacher saying this. We heard it in Sunday school this morning, how that we should be thankful, how that we should be thankful. Did you know one of the sins of mankind in the last days is being unthankful? We talk about these wicked drug addicts and these drunks and these drug dealers and all that. Did you know God puts being unthankful right in the same category as doing all them other things? It's a sin not to be thankful. And it really ought to be a sin for us here in our church not to be thankful. That's why I asked him to sing that song this morning. I'm telling you this morning, I have been blessed. That is the understatement of the year. I have been blessed. Haven't you? We've got a lot to be thankful for. Somebody said, well, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for. Somebody said one thing you can be thankful for is that really only God and you really know you. That's something to be thankful for. Ain't you glad everybody else don't know you like God knows you? Be thankful for that. Amen. Somebody said, if you can't pay your bills, be thankful that you ain't your creditors. Thank God you ain't the one you owe. That's right, brother. You'd be like that guy said, this guy was showing him around, you know, in a big museum, and he said, you see this piece of furniture right here? This goes back to Charles VIII. And you see this over here? This goes back to Louis XIV. One old redneck throwed up his hand. He said, that ain't nothing. My living room suit goes back to Sears the 12th. That's the way it is, you know. You ought to thank God you ain't them people you owe. That's right, brother. That's right. Listen, you know what you ought to thank God for? If you can't have everything you want, thank God that you're not getting what you deserve. Ain't that right? That's right. We should give thanks for all the bad things that ain't happened to us. That's right. One old woman got up, she said, I thank God I ain't got but two teeth, but thank God they meet. That's something to be thankful for. They hit each other when she closed her mouth. See, if you got one tooth on this side, I better shut up right here. Anyway, you've got something to be thankful for. Amen. We've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. There are many, many, many things that we should be thankful for. And the Bible said in the last days that people would be unthankful. Unthankful. The more it seems like unthankful, the more God does for us, the more unthankful we are. One of the surest proofs of the depravity of the human heart is that the more you get, the less thankful you are for it. That's a sure sign of how depraved we really are. I heard about this man and woman one time. They was in a church service, and people were standing up giving money in honor of their son that was killed in the war. And somebody gave $200 in memory of their son who was killed in the war. And this lady stood up and said, we want to give $200 in honor of our son. And they said, your son didn't get killed. Why are you giving $200? And they said, we are thankful that our son didn't get killed. We ought to be thankful for all the good things that God has done for us. Now, I want to say just a couple things this morning. And the first thing I want to say is, you might not want to hear this because you might watch TV a lot, but we ought to be thankful that we live in this country, the United States of America. I know we're living in a day when people in America are traitors. We're living in a day when people are traitors right here in this country. But I'm telling you, our country was founded upon the principles of this book, and God led those pilgrims over here, and you'll never hear it in a public school, but He did. He sure did. You'll never see this in a public school, but old Christopher Columbus, he's right up there, and he's, quote, I'll guarantee it, kids. Go to school tomorrow and ask your history teacher are they going to teach you this history. Christopher Columbus said, quote, "It was the Lord that put it into my mind. I could feel His hand upon me." There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. All these movie stars like Sean Penn and all these traitors to America and these people like old Bill Maher, Marr, whatever his name is, that perverted that they have on TV, blasting America and blasting our president and blaspheming our troops, and the old Mark Cuban that owns the Dallas Mavericks, them putting out that movie against our troops and making our troops look like a bunch of law-breaking rapists. I'm telling you, we ought to let them go to Iraq. A while. I thank God we live in America. America's not perfect, but I still rather live here than anywhere else in this world till we get to heaven. Men, you ought to thank God for our country. Amen? Thank God for our country, America. Let me give you just a little history of it this morning. Just a little bit. How it all got started. Are you listening? Here's how our country got here. You kids listen to this because they don't know this at school. They don't teach your teachers this where they go to college because they're prejudiced against Christianity and the Bible. You can have courses learning about the Muslim faith. You can sure learn about anything else you want to learn. Everybody has freedom of speech except God's people and the Bible. I'm telling you this morning, this nation, if you don't believe me, go to Washington, D.C., it's got Bible scriptures all over that city. They came here to get away from the tyrants in England. They came here to worship God. They brought the King James Bible over here with them in 1620, as I'll tell you about in a minute, and we ought to thank God we live in this country. I meet people all the time saying, oh, I'd just love to go here, and I'd just love to go to Germany, and I'd just love to go to Paris, and I just, listen, it's like Florida. They put about four pretty places on TV and make you think it's all like that. Man, you can't walk down the streets of Germany and get a clean glass of water. Everybody drinks beer like it was water. And did you know, in other countries, it's awful. I mean, stuff. You think stuff's high here? Go anywhere else. I can tell you about some places I've been in Haiti and Canada, places like that. As soon as you step out of the United States, it's a different ball game. Everything's different because we have the protection of our Constitution that was founded upon the pages of this book right here. Well, this started out. There was a group from Scrooby, England. They prepared to come to their new home where, as they said, might preach and preserve their culture and raise their children. From Leyden, Holland, they boarded the 60-ton Speedwell ship. Listen to me. I'm going to give you a whole history of our country here in about 5 minutes. They knew that they were pilgrims. They took a printing press, 200 books, and the Bible to be the school book for the children. They brought the Bible to be the textbook for the children in school. I said they brought the Bible to be the textbook. We're not the fanatics. They are. Thank God this country was built on this book right here. We ain't the one that moved. They have. I tell you, they brought that old book. And did you know what? Here's what happened. They brought the Bible to be the textbook. The Speedwell and the Mayflower set sail on August the 5th, 1620. After 300 miles, the Speedwell was declared unseaworthy. They said that thing was never going to make it and had to return. Her passengers would either have to go back on the Mayflower or go back home. 20 of them just dropped out altogether. But on September the 6th, 1620, the Mayflower sailed with 120 people on it. Passengers already been gone 7 weeks and had 8 more weeks to go. That's a trip, brother. 8 more weeks. They were eating all the food supply. They couldn't go back. They had sold their lands and houses. Some of the sailors that were hired were beginning to laugh at the Christians for praying and made fun of them. But suddenly, the leader of that group was taken by a strange fever and died in just a few minutes. His body was the first to go overboard, and the mocking ceased. They quit making fun of the Christians after that. And then They said one passenger came up during a storm and was hurled into the Atlantic Ocean. And brother, they had to throw him a life jacket or one of them round things and pull him in. And they caught hold of the rope and he was saved. Finally, on November the 9th at 7 o'clock, there was a shout from the crow's nest. Land ho! And somebody said, Lord have mercy, there's land. Hadn't seen land in nearly 2 months. Can you imagine? Shouts ring up from the deck. People were down on their knees praying and shouting and thanking God. Don't look at us weird when we shout this morning. You're the weirdo. We're doing what our forefathers did. We're doing what they did in the Bible. They shouted and worshiped God in the Bible. They raised their hands in the Bible. They said amen in the Bible. They fell on their face in the Bible. They shouted and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And if I didn't hold that to hold my finger right here, I'd dance a little for you right now. Because I'm happy to live in America. Amen. That's one excuse as good as the other. And listen, I tell you what, brother. Elder Brewster suggested a song of praise, and the words of Psalm 100 soared from the main deck. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Let us enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving and praise. Amen. They shouted they would soon be in their new home. Their Scrooby Church covenant became the model for the Mayflower Compact. They knelt on the shores of Cape Cod. Imagine, no homes, no, nothing but wilderness. There wasn't no sign said welcome to America. Wasn't no street lights. Wasn't no street. You didn't know route. You had no maps. They had nothing to do. What could possibly sustain them but this God and His grace? They found the land had already been cleared at Plymouth Rock as if some unseen hand had went ahead of them and cleared them out of place by miracle. They later found out that a hostile tribe of Indians had lived there, and those Indians had been taken with a strange plague and killed every one of them. And all the other tribes were afraid to go near that place. They said the Great Spirit killed those Indians, and it cleared it out. So the pilgrims could land. They found the land cleared already. They got down there and they preached. They put out wooden benches and they preached, quote, prayerfully and powerfully. And then they met an Indian named Somerset. They learned how to speak English so they could continue to speak to them. Pocahontas, don't tell the real story in the Disney movie. They didn't have her getting saved. Pocahontas got saved. She made a profession of faith, got saved. She is a convert and married one of the pilgrim guys there. She, on the Disney movie, she's about as skinny as that thing right there, and went around and she acted weird like she's on something. But in real life, Pocahontas got saved, brother. She was a convert. And so they had a great time there in the Lord. In October 1621, the governor declared a day of public thanksgiving. They had turkeys and cabbages and had carrots and fresh deer meat and turkey. I mean, they'd go out there and take the muzzle loader, brother. Bam! Shoot a big deer. Didn't have to worry about it being in season. I mean, had a big fire there and roasted that deer meat and had fresh cabbage and carrot. And boy, don't feel sorry for them people, Lord. You can't even do that now. They'll lock you up and tell you it's out of season and codes and laws and forestry. They're more worried about the rats and trees and frogs now than they are us staying alive, I believe. They said the other day, one of our congressmen, a bunch of them, was protesting them building that fence down at the Mexican border because a lizard that's on the endangered species list was spotted in the area. We better not kill that lizard. That'd be awful. It'd be awful. Let the people of Mexico come over here and kill us all. But we cannot kill the lizard. That's how dumb we've got in our generation. Amen. Let me tell you what it's come to now. A hippie and his girlfriend goes downtown. Now, this is nowadays. That was back then. The hippie and his girlfriend goes downtown. He says to her, I'm going to pick up the unemployment check and then go by the university and get my check for my grant. Then I'm going to go get our food stamps. You go down there to the free clinic and get your test made. Make sure you ain't pregnant and get your free birth control. And then I'm going to have my glasses picked up at the center. And then I'm going to try to get my welfare check increased. And I'll meet you back at 5 o'clock at the federal building to protest the rotten establishment. That's the day we're living in. That's the day we're living in, brother. I'm telling you, we're living in a day when we got a bunch of brats raised up in this country that don't know the price our fathers paid for it and don't know what we've got to be thankful for here in America. Thank God. Do you know why we can open them doors and walk in here and I can stand up here and preach anything I want to according to this Bible this morning, because we have freedom guaranteed us by the Constitution of the United States, and we ought to be thankful for living in this country.
Amen.
Kids, don't you ever get one of them shirts with a swastika or something betraying your country. You see this flag right there? You see that flag right there? You know why them red stripes on that thing? People bled. They shed blood so you could come to church. They shed their blood so we could walk in here, so we could praise the Lord, so we could raise our hand. We don't have a church state in America. We have the Bible. We have our freedom. We can worship God according to the dictates of our heart. Thank God for America this morning.
Amen.
I like that story old James Dr. Dobson tell on his radio program years ago. You know, he's a doctor and all there, and always working gynecologist and everything. He said these two hippies come in the office one morning. This is awful, but this James Dobson said it, so I reckon it's right on radio. He said they're sitting down like this, and both of them's hair just hanging like that. And they come in, and the doctor come in. He didn't know which one's the man or the woman. He said, well, which one of you are here for your test? They didn't either one of them look up. He said, well, are you here for birth control? Are you here for... Neither one of them said anything. He said, man, I don't even know which is which. He looked at him and he said, which one of you has the menstrual cycle? And that old boy reached up and threw his hair like that and said, not me, man. I got the Honda. That's our generation. That's our generation. Crazy. Bunch of nuts, brother. I'm telling you this morning, don't y'all tell nobody I said that. Hey, listen, brother. We ought to thank God we live in America. I know America's backslid. I know our country needs a revival this morning. But I'll tell you what, I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. We get to heaven. Man, we brought an old boy from Ireland over here. I preached in Ireland a long time ago. And they brought this big old boy. He was a big, huge guy. And they brought him over here and took him to a steakhouse. And they brought him in there. And they don't have steakhouses where you can just go get all you want, keep getting buffet. And that boy liked to eat himself to death. He couldn't believe that you could just pay one price and keep eating. Listen, we throw away more food in this country every day than a lot of countries have to eat. And that's awful. But I thank God that we live in America. We live in America. We ought to thank God. I know it's Turkey Day. It's Turkey Week. I'll tell you a turkey story. Some of you heard me tell this story before, but it just got on my mind. I can't get it off. This fellow went and bought him a parrot. And when he bought this parrot, he's really proud of it. Paid a lot of money for it. And the man told him, he said, "There's just one thing you got to know about this parrot." Said he cusses. He said, "What?" He said, "All parrots talk, you know, but this one cusses. He's got the dirtiest mouth you ever heard in your life." Said, "You ain't never heard of..." He said, "Don't you worry about that. I got ways of getting that out of him." So he took it home. He's real proud of it. Put it in the cage. He went over to show his family. He pecked on it and said, "Polly want a cracker?" And that parrot, he knew blankety blank, that he blank, 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 that he blank, blank. Lord, he let out a shriek. He cussed the paint off a wall. I mean, you never heard such language in your life, that guy said. "Oh, my Lord. Oh," he said, "I'll fix you, you little brat." He opened that door, grabbed that thing by the legs like that. He went over here and stuck it, opened the freezer, and stuck him in the freezer and slammed the door. "Now, you stay in there, you learn to talk better." He left him in there about 30 minutes. He said, "Well, I believe I'll go check on him." He walked back over there. He opened that door, and that person, he just shaking like that. And he got in there and said, "Oh, now you learn better, ain't you?" He grabbed him, took him out here, said, "You think you can do better now?" That person, he said, "You got anything to say?" And he said, "Just one thing. What'd that turkey do?" Whatever that turkey did, I don't want to do it. Listen, them poor turkeys, bless their heart. I feel sorry for them. They got rights. But anyway, listen, buddy, I don't know what the turkey's done to get picked on like they have. I reckon that's what's the purpose of a turkey? They except eat them. I don't know whatever purpose they have. But anyway, we ought to thank God for it. Let me say something else this morning. Did you know we ought to be thankful? We ought to be thankful this morning that we have a chance to be saved and are saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we forget about this. We forget about this, but I'm going to remind you. We forget. All we see is houses, cars, church, friends, stores, streets, Christmas trees, family. We see it all around. We forget that down below us is another world. We forget that up above us is another world. That's why the Bible said, set your affection on things, not on things above, not on things of this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I'm thankful that I had a chance to be saved, and I got saved. I never want to get over that. Don't ever get over what God done for you when He saved you. How many of you people are saved here this morning? Raise your hand if you're saved. You ought to be the most thankful person on earth. You ought never to gripe. You ought never to complain. Let me tell you something this morning. If God never done nothing for us but save us from hell, we ought to be happy every single day of our life. I'm thankful I got saved. I'm thankful there's an old preacher come to me by the name of Joe Parson that would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray every morning and pray the power of God down on Nebo, and the Holy Ghost fell on our community and brought conviction and conversion, and there's 150 young people, and I was one of them that got saved. I could never thank you enough, Lord, that I got saved. He said, well, I ain't got nothing to be thankful for, preacher. Everybody else has got a big car and a nice house, and everybody else has got a wonderful life but me. That's the devil making you think like that. If you're saved, listen, it don't matter how bad it is. It's going to be good forever once you leave this world. Amen? Be thankful to God that you have a chance to be saved. They said this businessman one time at Thanksgiving had 175 employees, and he sent all of them a turkey. It was the week of Thanksgiving. He sent every employee a turkey. And he said at the end of the week, he got two notes thanking him, and two people verbally thanked him. 175 turkeys, and four people thanked him. And that businessman said, I'll never go out of my way again to do something nice for anybody. He said, people are so unthankful. Now, we think we deserve it. Well, you owe me a turkey. Well, you turkey. You owe me more than that. That's the way we look. That's the way we look at our boss man now. That's the way we look at our employees now, like they owe us something. No, we ought to thank God that we're saved, and we ought to thank God. Listen, one of the worst sins people committed in the Bible was complaining. Complaining. I know churches, when if the air conditioning's tore up, they'll have to call service off. People won't come up. I know if it rains 15 drops, they'll stay home. There's probably people saying, well, if gas gets any higher, I'm going to have to quit making that drive all the way to the church and all that. Listen, why don't you quit making that drive everywhere else that you want to go? You know why? You're an unthankful brat. God's been so good to you and you don't appreciate it. I tell you this morning, I want to thank God for being good to me. I woke up this morning, I could see, I could think, I could hear, I can walk, I can feel, I can eat, I have an appetite. I can feel God and I can worship Him, I can hear the singing. All that stuff we should be thankful for. Thank God for being saved and having the opportunity of being saved. How terrible for God to offer His best and you refuse it. How terrible the fire would be in hell to think about turning your back on God and saying no. Have you ever been around a big bonfire and something's on fire? I remember when the Nebo school burnt down years ago, somebody called the house and said, school's on fire. We always prayed it. Well, I didn't pray, but if I could have prayed, I always wanted it to burn down. We always said, man, I wish school burned down. Wish school burned down. Very year after I got out, burned down. And we'd accuse us of doing it if we'd have still been at school, but it wasn't us. And the thing burned down, and we got in the car and run down there to watch it burn. And we was as far, probably at least as far from here, that bank across the street over there, and the heat on your face was unbearable. You had to do like this because of the heat, as far as that away. I got to thinking about that. I got thinking when we went to Gatlinburg, and we was on one of them rides over there, and they got some ride, Lord have mercy, I don't know what it was. I got on this thing, and it was like four of these seats right here, like four or six people right in, and it goes like this, and it goes like this, and upside down, and I kept around and stuff like that. And man, we got on that thing, and it was fun the first maybe 30, 45 seconds, and then it got you way up to a top like this, and it stopped. And then this big ball of fire shot out, and you could feel the fire hitting you in the face, and it just drops you. And when that happened, I thought, my Lord, what it would feel like to be dropped in hell. I don't know who designed that ride, but they was probably trying to give somebody the sensation. I strapped in with them seat belts on. There's a woman in front of us said, last time I rode this ride, she said my necklaces on my neck was in my tennis shoes when I got off. I mean, brother, it's a thriller. And it got us out there, and it got real dark, and that plane shot out, and it drops you like that. And I thought, wouldn't it be awful to be strapped up like that and have straps around you and feel the heat of a flame and drop in hell and you can't never, ever, ever get out? Listen, thank God we've got a chance to be saved this morning. Hallelujah to God, we can go to heaven when we die. Praise His holy name, we're not going to burn in the fire. We ought to be thankful that we're saved. Quit your whining. Quit your griping. Quit your complaining. Walk in there to that family, get together this Thursday and say, woo! It's good to be saved. And thank God for what He's done for you. You ever thought about what it would be like to be lost? Instead of fussing about how strict the church is and people fussing at you and making you sit down and being, hey, you ought to thank God every day of your life that you ain't in hell and you got a privilege to come to church. Amen. You ought to get down on your knees and say, thank God. There's a lot of people in the world in hospitals this morning that give everything they've got to feel as good as you folks feel and come in. We ain't got nothing to gripe about. We ain't got nothing to gripe about. God's been good to us. I'm going to close this morning and say two things. First, if you're saved, let's be thankful. Quit sinning. If you ain't being thankful, you're living backslid. You're sinning. Let's quit that and start being thankful. Second thing is, if you're not saved here this morning, if you don't know where you're going when you die, you can walk down here, get down on your knees, ask Jesus to come into your heart. And He'll save you and change you and write your name in the book of life, and you'll never go to hell when you die. That's all it is. God's plan to save your soul. The Bible said in the last days, the thing that would mark us was being unthankful. Let's change that this morning. All right, let's stand by our head for prayer.